name is Bernadette Hadfield. My date of birth is the 7th of the 8th, 42. I was brought up in Haplingen Hall Road in Oswestry. We lived in a cottage, and my father, during the war, did the tyres for a company for retreading tyres to get through the war. After that, my father worked as what they call a lensman. My mother worked in a factory near Blackburn doing saws, making small saws for the saws to saw wood with. We went to school down in Oswestry at St Mary's in Oswestry. I had two brothers, Bernard and Christopher. There was 2 years between all of us. My eldest brother went to Blackpool to train as a chef in a hotel, and I was sent off to boarding school in Almondsbury near Bristol. When I was home from school, my parents received a letter saying, please could you keep Bernadette's elocution lessons up, as we have to restart when she comes back from Lancashire. I stayed there until I was 14, and just after 14, my father passed away, and this is why I left boarding school and came back home and went out to work. If I'd have stayed at boarding school, the training that I was being given was to be a secretary, to go either into a typing pool or be someone's secretary. When I left school, I was nearly 15. I left at 14, but by the time the school holidays was over, because my birthday is in August, I was then 15 and went out to work. My first job was to go into a shop in Blackburn that was called Wilson's. It was a ladies' outfitters that did a heavy coat on the bottom floor along with suits. On the second floor, there was skirts, dresses and bridal wear. And on the top floor was children's wear. And I stayed there until I was about 16, and moved then to Barter Shoes in Accrington, where I stayed until I was about 17, and went to Burnley to work at Elgin's in Burnley as a sewing machinist. When I was 15 and went to work in the ladies' outfitters, my first wage was £2.50. £2.10 in old money. I didn't keep my wage because, with my mother being widowed, and at that time she wasn't well, and my younger brother was at home, the money went straight to my mother, and I was given £1 to sort out my bus fare and anything else I needed for the week. We was working from 9 o'clock through to 5:30. As a 15-year-old, you weren't allowed to work till six o'clock. The hours of the shop was 8:30 through till 6 o'clock, but there was some sort of act in that children of my age had not to work that amount of hours. And we also, we'd been in Blackburn in those days, they had half days, so that it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday was half closing day. So we worked from 9 o'clock to 12:30 and had the half day off, and then Friday and Saturday. When I went to work at Burnley, I used to catch a bus in the morning, and we started work at 7:30. By this time, I was older and could work full time. And we worked from 7:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening. And my trams I got on the bus backwards and forwards from Accrington through to Burnley and back. And then they put on transport because there was quite a few people coming from Accrington and Oswestry. So then we caught the works bus. I worked there until I was married, and Elgin's then opened a factory in Oswestry where on Mosque Mill Street it was chapel, and which made it rather easier for the people in Accrington and Oswestry to go to work. When I was working at Oswestry Elgin's, we made ladies' underwear, which meant waist skirts, full skirts, nightwear, and ladies' briefs. We also, at that time, there was a carnival going on, and I think it was just the Oswestry one, not the Accrington big carnival. And we had a float where the ladies displayed the negligees, the pyjamas, the underwear, which was very much protected by our spouses that walked by the side of the float to make sure no one did any silliness to us. On having been married and having a first child, I went back to work, but you couldn't go to work if you was putting the child into nursery until the child was potty trained, and then the nursery would accept them. And I went back to work full time, but before that I went back to work part time as a sewer at the Hyams's, who ran an evening shift, and that was sewing sheets. And most of our ladies in those days went back to work because there was facilities or the husbands looked after them at evening time. But I went back to work at Elgin's to begin with, and I took my child to Eagle Street Nursery, and then from there I caught a bus into Oswestry and worked there. But by the time I went back to work, I also had been interviewed as a supervisor come manageress for Elgin's in Oswestry, which made my wage much, much easier for us to be able to live. My husband was a bus driver and also worked funny hours, so it was easier for me to go back on full-time work with the actual nursery rather than rely on someone looking after the child when my husband was on leave on the buses. When we decided that we could afford to have a second child, 6 weeks after the child was born, unfortunately my husband had an accident which caused a spinal injury. In those days you didn't claim as they do today. So I went out to work on evening shift again at Hyams's. But in that time, while my child was so small, the lady that was next door but one to me was a counsellor, and she advised me to go to the social services. I did this, and the gentleman came and took all details, and I had to do a week with accounts of what I spent in a week. And the gentleman returned about 2 to 3 weeks later and was very apologetic, saying I'd been too honest, and the only amount of money they could give me in a book that you go to cash in at the post office was 7 and 6, which I refused. And this is when I went back to work on the evening shift at Elgin's. and later returned full-time, sorry, not at Elgin's, at Hyams's, and then later went back at full-time to, as the baby got older and I could put the child into nursery again, because my husband wasn't capable when he arrived home in a plaster cast from the chest down to the bottom of his back. So he wasn't capable of looking after the child, so therefore he went into nursery again, which was my youngest daughter. By this time we had two girls. On the lighter part of working at Elgin's, at that time the Beatles were was just appearing in the 60s. And if you can remember, and the ladies of my age will, in the sewing room we used to have workers' playtime music played through onto into the works. And unlike everything else, ladies and gentlemen alike, that was feeding the blind, we used to sew sheets, hem sheets and pillowcases in the sewing room that was made, that was cut and made further up in the works, because it was a weaving place. But this particular day, the Beatles was singing on this, on the workers' playtime, and the one with the curtain, and they used to shake their head saying, yeah, 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 and of course everybody joined in. I think the manager must have been not in a good mood, because he turned the radio off and refused to let us have the radio back on again, and even for the afternoon ones. So when I wasn't far from where Elgin, Hyams's was, so when I had come back from dinner, all the sewers was outside, and some of the ladies that supplied us with work, and the rest of them, and I said, what's the matter, is the fire something? I said, no, we're on strike. And it came out on strike because of the Beatles, and we couldn't have our radio back on. In due course, we did have this, the radio back on, but coming up to Christmas, when we had our Christmas party in the sewing room, the owner of Hyams's came into the room, and he had a Beatles wig on, and started the party off with yay, 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 which was quite funny, really. But we did make the Evening Telegraph with the strike for the Beatles. It's extremely funny. It's some of the things you look back on as the working days, isn't it? That it wasn't just always boredom with the same thing over and over again. No, no, because we were piecework, you see. So we made our own wages. We had a basic wage and we made our own wages. Well, no, simply because if you was a quicker worker than someone else, then you were doing more work than the person, say, two or three machines away from you. And why should you not get paid for producing more work? It was a very good system. I mean, there were some girls who were extremely fast, and the work was absolutely spot on. I mean, you could get people that was fast, but worked not good. They used to get a lot of work back to repair, so then they lost whatever they'd made. So, but yes, I think the that was very good. But it also meant that if somebody, how can I put this? If someone wasn't quick at picking things up, when you had different, we had 2-inch and 1-inch hems on sheets, right? Mm-hmm. And you used to have to spin the hem around. You had an inch and a 2-inch and a 1/4-inch all on a hemmer, and you had to spin it round onto your machine to do that hem and spin it back to do the other hem. Mm-hmm. And if you wasn't, there's a word, adaptable is something that it's called. If you wasn't quick to be able to do that, then obviously you were slower, and even though you were fast at doing one hem, to stop and turn your hem around to do the other hem, you lost your time. Do you understand what I mean? Whereas other people could very quickly whip it round and fasten it back down and get going again. I know they did actually change that method and put it on to you at this time you had them folded on the bench, whereas when they modernised in some respects them, they were on a hanger next to you, and you threw them over and did all one side. Then someone came and turned it round, and you did all the M's on the other side. So obviously the management realised that they were losing production with having to fold and unfold the sheet that was given to us. So now they came through on like trolley things hanging up next to you. If you would, like a rail of clothes, but these are hung over. And you did all down one side, and when you got down to the other side, then someone would come and turn you trolley round, and you do all the other side as a different M, which meant then that you weren't keep on flicking your hem out backwards and forwards. Much quicker, and you made more money. I just went in and worked and came away, probably because I, at that time, had to look after my two children and my husband, and so therefore I didn't even think of any promotion or anything like that until I left Hyams's and went to work at Accrington Brush. When I was working at Hyams's in the sewing room, there was quite a few men working with us, but the men were there to actually do the heavy work, moving pallets of work about. So therefore, there was no, there wasn't any, I don't know how to put this, any argument about the men being paid more than the ladies that was working on the machines. There was a union in the workshop where we worked. I don't know if the men's union was the same as our own, but our union was very good at making sure our pay kept up with the amount of work that we did and the promotions that went on. There was never any dispute about what we did with the unions, unless the unions thought that there was rules brought in, as there was with the smoking. Because we were in a weaving shed, it was very dangerous for people that smoked to set things on fire, and at one stage they actually banned smoking in the workplace, which the union took up, and they did promote a room that was isolated for people and dedicated times for people to go and have their smoke. When my husband returned to work as a bus driver after the spinal injury that he had, he had only been at work a couple of weeks when the buses came out on strike. The union brought them out on strike. I cannot remember why they brought them out on strike, but they did bring them out on strike. And with the fact that we was on a very low budget and we had two children, and now my husband was out on strike and no wage after being off for so long and being on a low sick day, we was down in town once, and we was refused to be served in shops because we was on strike and it was affecting their business. This, I find, was very unfair, as it wasn't my husband's fault and it was none of the other people's fault. When a union brings you out on strike, you have to come out or be blacklegged. This went on for some time. Unfortunately for myself and my husband, people around where I lived actually dropped off food parcels on my door, knowing full well that we were struggling But we weren't the only people that struggled, and hopefully it happened to other people that worked on the buses, because some people weren't just one member of the family working for the corporation. Sometimes it was husband and wife, the wife being the conductress and the husband being the driver. So they also would have suffered deeply with that. As far as work was concerned for ladies, and also for gentlemen, in that period of time, it was much easier than it is today. We had a lot more places that employed us. We had the mills. We had a lot of shops and also markets. Children could get Saturday jobs on the market. We had also paper rounds. But these days, I would not like to live in these days. It is much harder to find work. We don't make most of our own things. We had loads of manufacturing, even as far as engineering places. We had quite a good area to be able to go and find a job if you wasn't happy in one. You could be out of work on the Friday and back in work on the Monday, which was much easier than it is today. You know, you could flip from job to job quite easily. I left IMSS because the work was quite heavy work, when you were shaking out sheets and such like. And unfortunately, I had a women's trouble, and the doctor had advised me to find a lighter job. At this particular time, Accrington Brush was looking to start a new part in their actual work site. They were starting a working place for making stretch hoses that goes on vacuum cleaners, and they were looking for a manageress to run this department and train people how to make the actual hoses, and later how to put the cuffs on for selling them onto the market stall and such like. I fortunately managed to get this job, and it was much lighter, but this was also because I'd already had management experience with Elgin's. Later I did go back to Elgin's as a manageress, as unfortunately there had been a dispute in Accrington Brush because I had left my husband, and my husband had made quite a big fuss in the Accrington Brush company, and I was asked to leave. I was then living on my own with my two girls, and I saw an advert for Elgin after a manageress for the Elgin's in Oswestry. I went through to the main factory in Burnley and was successful because they already knew me and knew that I knew how the system worked. And I was very fortunate to get the management place in Elgin's. So this also helped, because of the fact that it was a monthly paid job, and it helped with me bringing my daughters up and buying a house. When I arrived in the factory to start my new job in Elgin's, I was greeted very warmly with the people that I used to work with, and also I found that some of the people that I was going to be working with were some of the ladies that used to go to school with in my early days before I went out to boarding school, which was very pleasant because we caught up on what I'd missed out while I wasn't going through the normal schooling in Oswestry. They helped, and they were very good at also coming to me because they knew me and could speak to me about the work if there was something wrong on the factory floor. when I was buying my first house, as I left my husband, I was very fortunate that Lloyds Bank actually gave me a loan to buy the first house, which was only then £700. On being in it for the first 12 months, well, less than that, there was no bathroom, only one cold tap, and there were two pin plugs in the house, which wasn't legal at the time. So we, my daughters and myself, was looking round for another house, which is the house that I live in now. And we bought it from Mortimer's, and I had to go to the main office in Preston to get the mortgage, as it was a reclaimed house. The gentleman who interviewed me was very offhand and very snooty. He actually said to me, and how a lady on her own expects to be able to buy a house with and keep up the payments. With that, since I had been on my own, and I had been very strict with my children, we haven't had anything that we didn't need, I had managed in that time to save £2,000, and I'd taken a cheque with me for the deposit on this house. So I got up and I said to him, "Right, sir, I found you very, very aggressive towards me. I have come with a pay, with a cheque, a banker's cheque to pay you for the deposit for this house, but I am leaving now, seeing as you object to a lady being on her own with family, and cannot, as you say, expect to support and pay a mortgage. I shall report you when I leave here to your head office." And I got up to leave, and he got in front of the door and apologised, ordered a cup of tea, and I got a 90% mortgage. And this is what you should do, ladies, if anybody thinks you are not capable of doing anything, because we are capable of anything. Just because we're women doesn't, I mean, we kept going through the war, so we can do anything if we put our mind to it. Many years later, I actually remarried, and the husband that I had, I called him my gentle giant. Mr. Roald Adfield was Accrington Brush's manager, and I think as part of the dispute that went on, my husband thought that things were going on between us. In actual fact, they weren't, but it did actually throw us together with what happened. He supported me through my working life. I moved from Elgin and started a sewing room in Accrington, sewing rosettes, which was Pressfield Fabrics. And from there, I finished up in a sewing area. When I left there, I finished up in another sewing area that was sewing uniforms for workers, and that was also run by a lady called Janet Catlow, and she called her sewing place Jancraft. I enjoyed working at all my jobs of sewing, ups and downs like everybody has. But in the meantime, I'd also been making cakes for my daughter's friends, and it led me to what is known as Sugarcraft, which is British Sugarcraft, and there are plenty of areas and clubs round about. You don't have to be a practice or a qualified person to be Sugarcraft. You make a cake for your children, they enjoy it, and it's made with love, and that's all it needs. From there, though, we went to exhibitions, and I applied and went through training as a Sugarcraft demonstrator, which Ron and I went around the country in our part time while we we used to take the weekends off and go and demonstrate different parts of Sugarcraft. And this is where it's led me to do Sugarcraft for the WI. And when I retired altogether, out of mischief, I applied for a job at the Nelson and Cone College. They were after an evening person to do sugar craft at evening time. So I applied and I got the job. It was wonderful. I'd never been paid so well. I'm doing something that I enjoyed. The only thing that did come up was the fact that I had to have a teaching certificate. Going back to school or to college since 1957 was quite hard work. But my darling husband bought me a computer and we went through learning on how to make essays and all the research that we had to do until I actually gained my teaching certificate and teached at Nelson and Cone College for 10 years and thoroughly enjoyed it. And that was the end of my career, as now I am retired altogether. If I hadn't have had my husband's support, I don't think I would have. You know, because I came out of school without any qualifications when my father passed away, because I hadn't done full length in school. And actually, at that time, there were no qualifications. You just came out of school and went straight into work, unless you were very brilliant. I wouldn't like to be the women working today. I don't think they have the opportunities, and I don't think they are treated as well as we were treated if you wanted to climb a ladder. I think if you had the ability to go forward and put yourself forward, no one took advantage of you as they do today. No, I wouldn't like to be in your positions today. I don't know, that's life. It threw things at us. And as long as you take the experience that you had, I think while I was away at boarding school, the elocution has helped me. I think because I spoke differently, it did help me get through and get to different places that probably, if I hadn't had the elocution lessons and the deportation classes as well, with walking with books on your head, I don't think I would have got as far. I don't know. These are things people ask, would you like to live your life again? I say no. I've been through my life, and the life of today is completely different to the life that I came through. But you youngsters don't know any different. So therefore, you wouldn't appreciate, I don't think, going back into my life, because yes, we had cold water, we hadn't central heating, and we hadn't as many cars. We walked, we caught buses, and I think, enjoyed life better than you do with all the technology that's about, because you don't use your body and you don't use your mind as much, because things will spell it things for you, like it did on my computer helping me when I was learning to go through teaching. No, I haven't even forced myself to go whichever way. I have just followed whatever's come up in front of me. And I am very thankful that I have finished up with a much easier life than I started off with. If the opportunity was there, I've told this to my children, if they haven't got what they went after, you weren't meant to have it. It's not meant to be. Just wait and something will come up. Just keep on trying. And sooner or later, you will get where you want to be. I don't know. I don't know whether or not I've just been lucky. I haven't had it easy. There's a lot of things I haven't told you. I've only told you the good parts of my life. I haven't had it easy. But at the same time, I've taken whatever's been thrown in front of me and used it. Life is life, and I followed it through. I've never planned anything. I followed it. I've never planned what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. I just followed it. And if it's led me somewhere good, then I'd be quite happy with it.